Well, this evening we'll continue to consider the testing of Abraham's faith in chapter 22 of the book of Genesis. We won't go back and read this passage. Most of you are familiar with it. We read it last week. But if you want to turn there to kind of at least have a reference point, we'll continue to consider some of the lessons that we can learn from God's testing of Abraham's faith. And as we kind of ended up last week's lesson with emphasizing how that faith always leads to obedience, and that faith and a walk of faith is really an act of worship. And this is what Abraham said to his servants when he and Isaac went to the mountain, is, we're going to worship Jehovah. And in what he was simply doing was obeying God's instruction for his life at that moment. He was where God told him to be. He was doing what God had told him to do. And even though what God had asked Abraham to do didn't seem to make sense, we don't see that Abraham argued. He simply believed what God said, that in Isaac all of these blessings were going to come. Let's begin reading in John chapter 14. And we'll see in several places here where Jesus himself emphasizes the importance of faith leading to obedience. John chapter 14 and verses 21 to 24. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, not the one who betrayed him, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. Of course, the word that Jesus was speaking of first and foremost was that of the need to trust him as the Savior. That word, that commandment, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you love Jesus, you'll believe that word. You won't trust in works. You won't trust in religion or man. You'll trust in Jesus who paid the price for you. But this same principle applies to all of God's word. And even after we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, if you truly love Jesus, you're going to believe his word, you're going to believe his wise instruction, and you're going to apply it to your life, in every area of your life, in your marriages and your careers and all of your relationships in life. You're going to, if you love Jesus, you're going to look for those instructions that he has for those relationships, and you're going to obey them. Not because necessarily you love others in those relationships. You do. There is that natural love. And then there's even the application of spiritual, godly love in those relationships. But it starts out first and foremost because you love Jesus. I love my wife. I'm faithful to my wife. But first and foremost, that unshakable foundation is based on I love the Lord Jesus Christ. And his instruction tells me that this relationship is an example to others of that relationship between Jesus and the church. And so my relationship needs to be a good reflection of that very divine relationship that Jesus wants to have with whosoever will. And so if you love Jesus, you'll keep his commandments. And this is, people can talk about faith, and they can talk about, you know, that's a good thing, and to love God, that's a good thing, and the Bible's a good thing, and I'm glad you're following that. But if you love Jesus, it's not just going to be lip service. You're going to do what he asks you to do, not because you feel like he's going to hurt you or condemn you or bad things will happen to you, but just because you love him, because he first loved you. He laid down his life. He was obedient to the Father's will to the point of death, because he loved me. And so we talk about sacrifices, and from the human standpoint, that there are sacrifices that we make in our walk of faith. But can we really call them sacrifice in the light of his sacrifice to purchase us and to give us the opportunity to walk with him? The degree of our love and our faith can be measured by the degree of our obedience. And you don't need to look at everybody else and make those judgments, but start with yourself. We say we love Jesus, but to what degree do we love Jesus? Well, you can know to what degree you love Jesus by to what degree you allow the Word of God to govern your life and your words and your conduct and your relationships. That's how much you love Jesus. God's faithfulness to provide for Abraham in response to Abraham's faith is, again, a lesson that we can learn. Faith today is being taught that you demand of God and He has to answer you because you have faith. But in this example of Abraham's faith, it was God doing the demanding, all of it, and Abraham obeying. And yet, you know, and that sounds like slavery, doesn't it? You got one guy demanding and another just hopping to it and doing whatever he's told. That sounds horrible. But when it was all said and done, that faith led to abundant blessing. In this passage in chapter 22, we see that God once again reemphasizes the blessings that he'd already promised, but he said, these blessings are yours because of faith, because you believe what I have promised. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 28. This thought of faith leading to obedience, it is not an obscure thought in Scripture. It is all through the Scriptures, and including in this age of grace in the New Testament. If you want God's blessing in your life, and you'd be foolish not to, protection, guidance, wisdom, everything you need to excel in this life and in eternity, you have in the will of God. And that's where his blessings are found, nowhere else. Abraham received God's blessing because he was where God wanted him to be, doing what he was supposed to do. Jesus said in Luke 11:28, but he said more than that. There was a lady who said, oh, if I was just your mother. Surely Jesus' mother is the most blessed of all women. Well, certainly she was blessed of all women to bring forth the Savior of the world. But Jesus said this, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That means obey it. Then we have that very profound statement by Abraham when Isaac looked. He knew he had gone with his father to worship and to offer a burnt offering before. He knew the routine. Isaac knew, okay, we've got the fire and, you know, we've got the sticks and the stones. I know how to build an altar. We've got everything we need, but where is the sacrifice? And Abraham made this statement of faith. God will provide for himself a lamb. What a statement of faith that was. Our needs are met in this life because we belong to God. And often we think about, oh, my need and my this and my that. But I know that God will supply all of my needs, spirit, soul, and body. Whatever I need to be successful in doing the will of God, I know that God will provide, not because I beg him or demand him, not because I deserve them, but because I'm his child. By his grace, I'm his child. I belong to him. God cannot deny me what I need to excel in the will of God because he can't deny himself. I have his very nature in me. And so I don't ever live in fear of being abandoned in life. Others may abandon me, and they have over the years. But I never feel abandoned. I never feel like, oh, poor me. Well, I'm going through this trial and that trial, and I've gone through some things that have caused me tears. Deep tears and deep sorrow. And yet I've never, because of what I know in the Scripture, I've never come to this place as, why me? Poor me. Because I know my Father cannot abandon me because I'm his child. And that's why I can say I know God will provide for himself whatever I need to bring him glory. What a wonderful foundation and peace and joy that comes from that kind of confidence. Let's go to Philippians 2. We've got some promises made to us that we don't have to guess. That's what God wants us to learn from Abraham's faith. Now, all of this is in the context of genuine faith. Abraham's faith was tested, and it was proven to be genuine. So we can have this confidence when you are where God wants you to be. So I guess that's where we need to start out. We should constantly be seeking God's will, shouldn't we? His direction. for every choice, where we go to school, who we marry, what job we take, all of those decisions, I want to make sure I'm where God wants me to be. So that causes me to take time to pray, to ask the Lord, to seek the Lord. But when I am where God wants me to be, doing what he wants me to be, and how do I know what I'm supposed to be doing? It's in his word. Dedicate myself to those things that promote those virtues, the fruit of the Spirit in my life. When I'm where I should be, doing what I'm supposed to do, God will provide for himself what I need to bring him glory. That assurance you can't buy anywhere else. When I've been in situations and circumstances where I just couldn't understand it, there wasn't any human logic to, you know, what do I do next? Why am I here? Why am I suffering? How can this be for my good? All those questions are real and they're there, but that's when you have to choose to live by faith and not feeling, to live by faith and not make your decisions based on what the circumstances seem to be dictating, but on what the will of God is. And if we are where we're supposed to be, doing what we're supposed to, Philippians 2:12-16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Again, that seems as impossible as God asking Abraham to sacrifice his son. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain, Paul says, as the apostle of the church age. When we find ourselves in those difficult, unwanted situations, and we're tempted to think, why should I go on and worship a God that allows this or even orders this kind of situation and circumstance, sometimes tragedy? Why would I go ahead and worship? Because God has promised that all things will work together for my good. God will provide for himself. I don't have to demand it. I don't have to kind of come up with, God, this is what you need to do. God will provide for himself a lamb. Abraham had no idea there was going to be a ram in the thicket, caught in the thicket. He didn't demand it. He didn't come up with it. Over the years, I've heard some far-out prayers. The one time when we were going to the missionary language school, there was a guy, there was a couple that needed a place to stay. Well, let's just have faith. God, let's have a house for this couple, and let's make it a light green house with shutters. And oh, he just went on and on and on. How about we just pray, God, your will be done. God, you supply according to their need, what they need to accomplish your will. That's what faith is. God will supply for himself all that we need to bring him glory. Philippians 4, this is how the Apostle Paul lived. He worked with his hands when necessary. Wasn't beneath him. If that's how God supplied, is by giving him some clients, he took it from the hand of God. He didn't demand otherwise. And then there were those, like the Philippians, that faithfully gave offerings to him, and he gratefully accepted it as from the Lord. God provided through them as instruments, but he knew God was going to supply. And in Philippians 4, we have this promise, verses 11 to 13. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned, and it is a process, but the sooner you learn it, the better off you'll be. I have learned in whatever state or condition I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. There are times when he was among the brethren that they treated him like royalty, I'm sure. When we go to Paraguay, they treat us like kings. It's a little embarrassing how they treat us there. And then I've been other places where they just as soon I not be there. Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you believe that? What if God wants you to go through a testing of your faith to see if it's genuine, to see if you're truly going to continue to obey his loving instruction? Do you really love him? Do you really believe his word? If he takes you through a test, God will provide what you need for himself, for his own glory, and you can do whatever God's asked you to do. You can't get that confidence anywhere. There's no room for arrogance in a life of faith, and there's no room for inferiority. Oh, I'm not good enough. And I've seen both extremes, and they're both ugly. And they are both contrary to a life of faith. We have nothing to boast in. God will provide him for himself everything I need. Well, I can't. I'm not smart enough. I don't have this talent. God will provide for himself what you need to be everything God wants you to be. And then in verse 19 of that same fourth chapter of Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God will provide for himself a lamb. And then in that chapter 22 of Genesis, after Abraham passed the test, God renews the promises. Maybe let's go back and close with that. Genesis 22, verses 17 and 18. So God did the demanding, Abraham did the obeying, and now God does the blessing. That's a pretty good arrangement. Genesis 22, 17 and 18. God said to Abraham, blessing I will bless you, and multiply, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemy. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. Why? Because he obeyed. And why did he obey? Because he had faith. Had faith in what? The grace of God that made these promises. God said, I will. So this obedience and this blessing, it's all by his grace. Somehow we've got in our head that obedience is a legal term. It's only a legal term when you think that obedience demands the reward of God's blessing. It doesn't. Faith leads to obedience, but faith is based on what God said he would do for us. God will supply for himself. And the result is that process leads to the fullness of God's blessing. I think we'll stop there, and then, Lord willing, we'll look at the beautiful type there is in this of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God offering up his Son for the sins of the world. We'll look at that, Lord willing, next week.